When I think of a pastor of a congregation, besides the guy standing in front on the platform, is, especially the youth pastors that I know, is they always sit in coffee shops and have lots and lots of meetings. So guess what? I'm speaking to Retief Berger. Hello, Retief. Where are you?
Hey, Janine. I am in a coffee shop. You know, I need to connect, and I need to connect over good coffee and disciple people, and man, just be out there. I can't sit in an office. No.
So I'm always wondering, do you know the owners of the shops? By the 570th meeting that you have in their coffee shop, does the coffee start getting cheaper?
Yeah, no, it does get cheaper. You have like a bowl there, and I can
frequent
just wait.
Frequent flyer miles.
Know all the waiters. I can actually ask ask for a specific waiter if I also want to.
Awesome, man. But I am wondering, you know, it was Corona and pandemics all over the world, and now the pastors don't have to perform on a Sunday and do lots of long speeches. Did you have anything to do at all in the past 2 years?
No, I just did nothing. Janine, you know me. I just sat around and did nothing. No. Yeah, no, I was very busy. I lots of stuff. First I had my third child, so that kind of kept us busy during a lockdown. she's just over a year now, and we planted actually a church in lockdown. It was in the making for about 2 years before lockdown happened in March 2020, and the church plant was already in motion. And then we just kept going. We felt like God was in this, and we started with small groups, even though we couldn't gather. That was our strategy from the start, is to reach individuals, start to disciple them, bring them into family. And then eventually when we could gather in October 2020, when we started our first services, we had a church. It's amazing how God builds his church no matter what happens.
I must say, I was speaking to Louis Giglio from Passion, and he was saying that a huge percentage, or quite a large percentage, of churchgoers who had gone to church because it was a good idea, it's the right thing to do, it's my culture, fell away completely when Corona hit, and that another brand new huge percentage of people joined that had not been part of church in the past because they were feeling lost, and they were feeling overwhelmed, and they really wanted answers, and they connected and they didn't leave. So it was like a whole shift that happened in churchdom. Did you experience the same thing?
Exactly. I think you nailed it when you said it's like I'm a cultural Christian. Suddenly that's gone. And if people aren't really plugged in and connected in a specific family, then there will always be no need for people to return. And if you want to watch something, you can watch it on, you can watch any pastor on Sunday Live. But that's not church. Church isn't just getting a message. It is being plugged in. It's being part of a place where you're accountable, where you're committed, where you are serving. It's like a home. It's like a spiritual family. And I think you're correct that it's a sifting process that has happened. We know that God is always in the business of having a remnant, the true remnant, those who really choose to stick it out and to keep building and keep walking together in whatever season it is that we're in. And I know it's been difficult, and I'm not speaking about the gathering, because a lot of people, yes, just because of safety, have not been at gatherings, and we totally respect that. But you can still be connected to people and really in strong relationships, even though we are isolated physically. And we saw that happen in a beautiful way in the last year and a half.
I am curious at how did people then find this new congregation of yours? I mean, you're out there. The internet is a vast monster. How did people find Every Nation, this brand new church that you started?
Well, on the one hand, there is Facebook and all those things. We can just get the info. But we've always been a relational church, trying to build one relationship at a time. Slow is fast. Even our plan of planting this congregation from the start was not to start with a worship service or a gathering. It was always to start with connect groups, because our whole mission is discipleship, is one-on-one, reaching the lost or those who are not in church, the unchurched, the de-churched, the whatever you want to call it. But to really, through friendships, whether it be neighbors, whether it be strangers, to really reach out in the community. And of course, it's not an independent church. I was planted from the church that I led for 7 years. So we have various churches across, congregations across Tswane and the world and wherever. So it's from a congregation. And the beauty was, there was about a group of 40 people who were already discipled, strong people who had the vision of being part of something new, came along. And they did the groundwork. They were there. They reached out to friends and to families and to neighbors. And it was word of mouth. And it's just good to see how God builds his church. We just make disciples and he builds the church. I think when we get it the other way around, when we try and build the church, then it becomes burdensome. No, we just make disciples and he builds his church. And the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it, or the gates of COVID will not stand against it. Anything is possible.
Yeah, that is the gates of hell, the gates of COVID. Also curious that in South Africa, we, with our culture Christianity, we grow up and it's like everybody knows the name Jesus, and we sort of have a little toe in the sea when it comes to Christianity. We know a little bit, and sometimes it's just enough to offend us. But this whole corona problem has brought many people who felt vulnerable to taste and see that God is good again. You know, that's sort of get into the church culture. And I'm wondering, of the people that then tasted, how many stuck, you know? Because if you were hoping that people are going to say shame, shame, and going to carry you on their arms or whatever, people were all at a vulnerable place. It's a very interesting dynamic for me, this whole I'm at a vulnerable place, let's try out the church, and then either be disappointed or either think, no, this is too much commitment. It's like boots and all, or just run away again.
Well, I think it differs from person to person, and that's the beauty of Jesus. He always meets us where we're at. And we all know that being fully committed to Christ is all in. It is all in, but for some it takes a month to get all in. For others it takes 6 years or 2 years. And I think if we can have authentic Christian communities and church where you have patience with people, where you walk it out with them, where you support them, and where you challenge them. I think that's the good thing about healthy church. It's not just a kumbaya moment. It is also we need to be challenged, because the truth will set us free, the Bible says, but here's my abbreviation. It will set us free, but first it will pick us off. Because we do not like hearing the truth about ourselves sometimes, but that is where the freedom lies. We're willing to see ourselves for who we really are without Jesus, our need for a Savior. And for some people, that takes longer. It's very interesting. People who are really lost and people who are really desperate, they surrender sometimes much quicker than people that think they're okay. Because there's like a self-righteousness. Like, I don't need a Savior. Why do I need church? Why do I need Jesus? Versus people who know that they are lost and they're fully surrendered, they're broken. I've seen beautiful life change happen in people in the last year because of that attitude. Humility is the way into the kingdom. You need to humble yourself. And for some, it takes longer than others. And I think as pastors and as leaders, we just need to have patience and to gauge where everybody's at, to help them gently, answer their questions, try and just be there, stick it out, not try and give cheap or quick answers, not force it on people, because they need to decide for themselves. But we have seen many people stick. Yes, we have seen people also just, this is not for them, or this offended them, or whatever it is. Because Christianity in its essence is offensive. because it offends our self-righteousness, it offends our pride,
and our
self-sufficiency, and ultimately our sin. Mm-hmm. And the greatest sin is the sin of self, is the I, the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. So it will confront, but it will eventually set you free if people would be able or willing to humbly submit themselves.
I love what you're saying. We were just reading in Luke about the Pharisee and the tax collector and how much
exactly.
time has got for this guy who said, woe is me, I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy on me. That just a realization of who we are. It's not a popular thing, huh? Our selling point is our confidence and our boldness. And yet God says, if you're just a little honest with yourself, you'd be the tax collector.
Exactly. Actually, in our Connect group or our discipleship group I had with a bunch of men yesterday, we spoke about that same parable. And it's amazing how Jesus, if you look at all the times he was really cross in the New Testament, it was normally against religious people, people who thought they're okay, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and like that Pharisee that says, oh God, thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. Mm. But wow, the mercy that he showed to those who were broken and they need of a savior. He just jumped in. If I think about that parable, I think about Zacchaeus and the tree and the woman caught in adultery. Jesus just met them. There was mercy, love, conquered them. So I always see these two contradictions. God has a lot of time for people who are willing to be changed and who are broken enough to say, Lord, I need a savior. But
too
I
true.
Do think he gets a bit stuck into people who think they're self-righteous and I'm better than you and holier than thou and whatever. So humility, that's the key for me.
So yeah, being a pastor, full-time job, starting a new church, full-time job right there. Did you miss getting on stage and ministering with your music?
Oh wow, of course. Because I come alive, I'm in my flow. And I just love seeing God minister through me. And I missed it a lot. And it's not the same when you have a little screen in front of you and you are broadcasting a Facebook worship set. We are meant to also worship together. So I can't wait to do that again.
Well, that's going to be exciting. It's something that's changing now again, now with restrictions allowing us to get more and more people together, even indoors. So you'll be able to get out there and with a whole band. I mean, that dynamic, you haven't had that luxury in a long time.
No, definitely not. And, oh man, I'm so super stoked just to play with my guys again. I'm like, I hope I remember how to sing. Because I haven't sung in a long time or led worship in that moment. But I hope it's like getting on a bicycle again and just being amongst my friends and worshiping Jesus together and being in front of people and just going full out and all out. I think it's going to be so, so special.
But are they still all doing the music thing? So many of the artists literally changed careers during this time because they couldn't make a living. And the session musicians as well, they just couldn't live that way.
No, absolutely. It was detrimental to the whole music industry. And well, a lot of my friends that I play with, they kept doing, like you say, odd jobs, other things here and there, supporting churches with online recordings for services and still teaching and producing, and because those things still happened. But it was definitely at a smaller scale. And even the sound engineers, the knock that they took, many of them closing shop and having to sell all their gear. And no, it's been rough. It's been tough. So I hope the guys practice before our first gig.
That's going to be interesting
sure
to see if you can still play together.
Those rusty fingers. Yeah.
So where is this first gig of yours?
So it's actually on the 14th of October in Pretoria North at the Montana area. It's the ultimate aim is the venue. There's a great restaurant. There's a beautiful multi-tool facility, actually sports facility. And I know the owners and the people. And we were planning this and like actually before the third wave hit, and we wanted to do this together. And so it's going to be an incredible evening of worship together at Ultimate Aim in Montana in Pretoria.
Okay, well, it's very exciting that it's happening at last. It's been rescheduled about 3 times already. Every time they think, now we're going to do it, and then there's another wave. Mm. So luckily it's right now. There's nothing that's going to stop it, so that's very exciting. But people can go get that information on your Facebook?
Yes, on my Facebook page, and there's a Quicket, I think it's quicket.co.za, where you can get a ticket for 100 rand, and I think we start at 7 o'clock, 7:30, somewhere there. But yeah, it's just going to be a great evening. There will be all the right regulations for COVID, all of that. People are welcome just to come. It's a big, spacious venue as well that will really also help with all those challenges.
Okay, so besides getting back on the road again, you still had to make some new music or get involved at least with a new project.
Yeah, so Dr. Daya and Revelation Enterprises approached me for a album, Afrikaans album, that they wrote all the music and then produced in-house. Incredible songs that came out of the Dr. Daya family from all across the country. And then they asked me to be a guest artist on one of the songs, and I really felt privileged to be asked for this. And, well, the song that the guys wrote, the title is Stier Mei, Send Me. And it's such a song of hope, just declaring Jesus as the hope of the world, and then, Lord, send me into the world. It's a very dangerous song. Whenever we have missional songs, I'm actually sometimes just too scared to sing it, because I'm looking at my own life and how much do I walk out of my comfort zone to cross the road, to cross the room, to cross the border, or wherever. Mm-hmm. Into the world to reach the lost for Christ and to share the gospel unashamedly. So this is a song like that. It's a dangerous song, but it was so great to be part of this.
Is it for sale?
Yes, so they can go and buy it at various platforms, whether it's Spotify or iTunes. It's online available. The album title is Tot in Ewigheid, and then the specific song is Stier Mei.
Have you heard some of the other songs?
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
It's brilliant.
Really good songs. Yeah, it's so fresh. It's so different. I think it was so needed. Yeah, there's a couple of songs that's favorites of mine, but I'm enjoying the album, worshiping with it, and we'll be definitely singing some of those songs in our own congregation.
Okay, so we're going to get to play the song quickly, Stier Mei. It's not an upbeat song, it's a worship song. It's gorgeous, absolutely stunning. But before we listen to it, all the places people can connect with you again?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I'm kind of everywhere. If you want to see also where I'm ministering in the next 2 months, God willing. A couple of gigs lined up that I'm so stoked about.
Okay, and then also your congregation. Can anyone walk in and come?
Yeah, of course, anybody. It's Every Nation 20, Elardis Park. So we're in the Elardis Park area. We actually congregate at Wingate Park Country Club. That's where we're coming together on Sundays at 9 o'clock. We have a great kids church running. We're a bit mingles, so we do English and Afrikaans, because we have a wide spread of people, multicultural. We love just having nations together and our heartbeat for discipleship and reaching our community and area. Anybody's welcome. And we also have a Facebook page, Every Nation, Tswane Elardis Park, specifically.
I just learned a new word, mingles, people. Okay, but we're going for...
Mingles, yes, that's it.
Well, let's go for pure Afrikaans up next, Stier Mei. This is what it sounds like.